BreakDownTheWalls.com.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Larry speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now here's your host, Larry Allen.
As you know, we normally talk about federal government procurement issues, but in the realm of federal government procurement, especially lately, in terms of GSA land, there have been more and more opportunities for state and local governments to buy from federal contracts. In addition, state and local government contracting is its own very exciting area of government procurement, one that certainly gets a lot of attention from companies in the know. And I've got a great guest today who's going to cover all of that. But first, I want to remind you that, as you know, if you listen here every week, and if you don't, you know now, we welcome your feedback here on Off the Shelf. If you have an idea for a show guest, a question for my guest today, or even a question for your humble host, you know where to find us by now. Drop us a line at offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com. That's offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com, and we'll be happy to answer all of your questions. My guest today is somebody who I'm absolutely tickled to have on the show. He is Dave Gregan. Dave, currently the Director of Procurement for the District of Columbia, where he works directly for Mayor Fenty. He's been with the District of Columbia for 3 years in this capacity, but is certainly no stranger to the world of state government procurement generally, having served as Director of Procurement in several states and a prominent member of the National Association of State Purchasing Officials. Dave Gregan, welcome to Off the Shelf.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be here.
Well, Dave, I'm glad we got a chance to reconnect. It's been a little while since you and I have talked, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today because I think there's a lot going on in the world of state government procurement on its own, as well as how it may or may not interact with federal government acquisition. As I mentioned at the outset, Dave, you've been an active part of the National Association of State Procurement Officers and with a number of state governments. What's the current state of state and local government procurement? What are the current issues that are pressing you and your colleagues in this arena?
You know, as you point out, Larry, I've had it's been 18 years now since I sort of backed into the field of state and local government procurement, a field which I've become passionate about and truly love. In these 18 years, I've seen a lot change, and I think your question is really timely, given the Recovery Act and a number of other federal initiatives that really get implemented at the state and local level. In general, I think the answer to the question, you know, what's the state of our profession in state and local government, I think more and more we are gaining the respect that this behind-the-scenes function deserves in government. More and more frequently now, we are conferred with early in the acquisition process, I should say in the planning process, because ultimately the greatest plans fall on the rocks when it comes to getting a contract made. So the earlier an acquisition professional, I'm sure this is true of the federal government as well, the earlier we are involved, the more likely we are to have successful long-term contracts and great relationships with our vendors, which is critically important.
So more of an integrated business partner role for you and your colleagues right now than maybe 5 or 10 years ago, if I hear you right. And Dave, looking at state procurement today in 2010, how does it rate up there with conditions from 5 or 10 years ago?
There are a number of things we do differently today than I think we did 5 or 10 years ago. For one thing, and maybe the most important thing, is that good procurement professionals at all levels, and certainly in state and local government, are beginning to recognize that the result is as important as the process, and we are becoming much more solutions-oriented. By that, I mean we are consultants. If we're doing our job well and correctly, and I see this more and more frequently, we are consultants trusted early to be business advisors to the customers that we serve. And in doing so, we are sought for the advice we can give on the multiple right ways to get to a good, successful contract. I think historically and for many years, probably generations in my business, we were known to be purely about the process. Respect for the process is important. That process protects the public trust. But there is a fine balance that I think innovative and good procurement directors draw every single day that is related to the control component of our job as well as the facilitation or solutions component of our job.
So we're talking here a little bit about things like e-tools, the use of multiple award type contracts, task and delivery order, things of that nature.
All of those things, and as well as innovative construction contracting methods, there's always something new in contracting. There's always something new in finance. And being open-minded and flexible as opposed to rigid is a great way to ensure that we're keeping pace, that we truly are treating the job we do in the public's interest as one that actually delivers solutions every single day.
So I think you're right, and that's something we've seen at the federal level as well, different types of acquisition methods. Even the casual observer might note that things are a little different now than they were 20 years ago. Certainly those of us in the field know about that. Let's talk for a minute, Dave Gragan, about your current role at the District of Columbia. You currently oversee all of the purchasing done in the district. That is a tough job and a little bit of a crucible being right here in the Washington area. So many businesses in town, for example, want a share of the city's budget. What is it that you're telling companies who are seeking to do business with D.C. about how to get started?
We constantly are recruiting. I think the world's best customers in government procurement are always looking for the world's best vendors, and they frequently have trouble recruiting. When I came aboard here 3 years ago, I had enough staff to be able to carve out a few important functions which didn't exist before I got here. One of those is our vendor relations manager, a person that works for me by the name of Tamara Hay, who is excellent, excellent by personality and profession in recruiting, retaining, mentoring, tutoring, and helping small local businesses and, frankly, any business understand the sometimes very arcane way that we do buying, ensuring that they get the forms filled out, that they're properly registered. She's a phone call away or an email away from answers to almost any vendor's question.
So that's a very good and real set of feet on the street, if you will. Fairly similar to what a couple of people in the Federal General Services Administration do most prominently in the Public Building Service, where they've got a very good activity of their own along this. So you have a person who can interact with these companies that are looking to do business with the D.C. government. What are some of the checklist items that every company should know about?
I think every company, the very first step every company needs to do is get registered. And there are certain programs in my government, the district government, as well as almost every government that I'm familiar with, that are about business development. So if a business is qualified for any special circumstance, in our case it would be small, using the federal guidelines, a small business, disadvantaged business, resident-owned business. There are a number of certification categories. But one of the first things that a business should do once they register is discover what special qualifications do I have that may be important to this jurisdiction. People like Tamara Hay, vendor relations managers, and normally the business partner of the procurement director in a government is the director of small or local business development. That's certainly true in my case. Both of those offices should be consulted with to ensure that businesses get all the advantages that they are due.
So we're talking this half hour to Dave Gragan. Dave is the Director of Procurement for the District of Columbia. I'm Larry Allen, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Almost 70 years ago, a well-known Connecticut native named Homer Cummings had a dream to start a Washington law firm devoted to working at the intersection of America's business and government. As Attorney General for Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he was an integral part of the New Deal. In 1956, Gilbert A. Cuneo joined Cummings' firm to begin what was quickly to become the largest and most successful government contract practice in the country, earning him the title, the Godfather of Government Contracts. That same firm, McKenna, Long & Aldridge, today is recognized by Chambers USA as a Tier 1 government contract law firm, continuing its preeminence in the field through its offices in Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, Denver, and San Diego. With the oldest and largest government contracts practice in the United States, McKenna, Long & Aldridge still operates at the intersection of business and government. They produce solutions by working with their clients on creative and flexible strategies that ensure success. Their attorneys and professionals include former members of government, Congress, and its committees, so they know how Congress thinks and they understand how Washington works. There is no aspect of government contracts with which they are not familiar. In this uncertain economic climate, clients trust them to deliver solutions at costs that represent real value. From one new deal to another, they have remained at the forefront of government contracting. McKenna, Long & Aldridge, a name you can trust.
And welcome back here to Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, your most humble host here every Tuesday at this exact time on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, where we bring you, the exceedingly loyal listener in government and industry, the very latest developments in the world of commercial solutions procurement. I want to thank you for tuning in to us today as we continue our conversations on the state of state procurement, specifically what's going on with the District of Columbia. My guest this half hour is Dave Gragan. Dave is the Director of Procurement for the District of Columbia, where he has been working in the Fenty administration for the past 3 years. Prior to that, Dave has over 15 extra years of experience in the state government procurement field and a prominent official in the National Association of State Procurement Officials. Dave, as we went into that first break, you were talking a little bit about the role of small businesses in D.C. procurement, the fact that you have a specific outreach person in terms of vendor relations to help businesses of all sizes. You said that's the first place people should go, is the small business information site. Tell us a little bit about how your office promotes participation in D.C. procurement by small firms. Do you, for example, have socioeconomic preferences similar to those in the federal government?
We have a unique program, I think. It is race neutral, but it's very much related to district-based businesses. It's purely an economic development engine. And although it's run by another office, it's an interesting point, and I'd like to expand on it a little bit. In almost all governments, the business head of the government is actually often two different people. That's the case in Washington, D.C. The procurement director has a general public-facing interest to find the best value in every procurement. Elsewhere in government, it was true when I was the state procurement director in Indiana, true when I was the procurement director of the state of Texas, there is an economic development office of some sort. When you combine those two, and vendors really should all understand this, when you combine those two, you have the business brain of the government, the jurisdiction. So my partner and good friend Lee Smith runs in the district government, the Department of Small and Local Business Development, DSLBD, and together, we work together every single day to ensure that his goal to find economic opportunity for small, local, or disadvantaged businesses within the district government is matched with my goal to find best value. And only when you have that sort of partnership in a government does it become effective for the smaller local business.
So a good place to go is that small disadvantaged business office. Are there websites, Dave, that you could direct companies to that are listening to this show today that think, hey, maybe I'll give D.C. government business a shot? How do I get started? Where do they go on the web?
I'll be glad to give two websites, and I'm actively recruiting, so I want everyone who's listening to go write these down. My office is OCP, standing for the Office of Contracting and Procurement, OCP.DC.gov, G-O-V. Lee Smith, the Director of Small and Local Business Development, his website is DSLBD.DC.gov. And both of these websites will give registration information. When you register on my site, you're registering broadly as a vendor. The vendors that register on my site can be from anywhere on the globe. Lee's website will be very specifically for district-based businesses, and it will give all of the certification categories that a business that is based in the district may be qualified for. So they're for very different reasons, but if you qualify to be on the district-based business side, please register for both.
Again, though, for our listeners, those websites are ocp.dc.gov. That gets you to Dave Gragan's organization. And dslbd.dc.gov. And we'll post both of these websites up on the Off the Shelf page right here on the Federal News Radio website so that you can see them. Let's shift up gears for a minute, Dave, and talk a little bit about federal government procurement and how it interacts with state governments, something that I alluded to at the top of the show. The District of Columbia, where you are now, is and always has been an authorized user of GSA multiple award schedule contracts. Do you all use these contracts?
We use most of them, Larry. All of our vehicles, for example, as a single example, are bought from GSA or federal contracts. All of the pharmaceuticals are brought, although it's a Department of Defense contract, it's a federal contract.
Right, that's right.
And you point out the a great advantage, I think, to being the district government, and that is that we have access, among the many other ways that we might procure something, we have access, as if we were a federal agency, to all of the federal contract vehicles.
Are there specific instances when you would look to a federal schedule contract to meet a DC need, or is it just kind of a general what's happening and looking for good competition or what have you?
It's more the latter. We always check the GSA schedule rate as one of the many things we look for when we're about to make a procurement. We do have historical data on what it has cost us in years past to buy certain things and what procurement vehicle, whether full and open competition, a cooperative procurement agreement, or a federal contract, for example. And we typically will use the same method over and over. But my staff is duty-bound to look for the best value and the best contracting vehicle every single time, and that can change from year to year.
So it makes sense for some DC businesses. GSA schedule is good, but it's not for every business, even though I'm a large advocate of the program, as is the coalition. But if I'm a good-sized business, I've been in business for 3 or 4 years, looking to do business with maybe not just the District of Columbia, but other governments, schedules maybe make sense for me to take a look at?
I believe schedules make a lot of sense to take a look at. Whether a small or large business, the license that you gain by having your company listed as a schedule holder, I think, is invaluable. I can't imagine it not being worthwhile for almost all companies.
Well, let's follow on in that realm, and I'm sure this will overlap a little bit, but let's start talking about it now. The term cooperative purchasing means different things to different people. Most commonly at the state government level, cooperative purchasing is thought of as a state-to-state venture, and there are many examples of that, not the least of which is the Western States Contract Alliance, which at least used to stand, WSCA, used to stand for Western States Contract Alliance. And federally speaking, however, cooperative purchasing refers to state and local government use of GSA contracts. You said that you use them. How are these contracts currently viewed by some of your colleagues, Dave Gregg, and in other state governments?
This is another example of, I believe, a change in our profession at the state and local level over the years. I can recall in the mid-90s when I was fairly new at this business, going to annual meetings of the state procurement officials and having GSA appear at every one of those meetings to sort of inculcate interest in us in the federal schedules. It rarely took. There was very little interest at that time. Today, everything is different for a couple of reasons. Number one, maybe three reasons. Number one, I think the fact that the Schedule 70 has been available now for probably 3 years, Schedule 84 more recently for Homeland Security and Public Safety, and states are using these. And I think states are now, through use, becoming more familiar with the value of a GSA contract. That's one thing that has changed. Staffs have reduced in size. In other words, our workload is not reduced, but I think for the most part governments have gotten smaller at the state and local level. We are looking for more and more opportunities to piggyback or use cooperative agreements so that we aren't, once again, in adjacent jurisdictions going out and separately competing over and over again the same type item. So I think more and more we look at GSA schedules. I believe my colleagues, and I'm going to find out next week when I host them here in D.C., the state procurement officials, I think probably they're somewhat envious that I am able to purchase off schedules anytime I want.
I'm talking this half hour on Off the Shelf to Dave Gregg, and Dave is the Director of Procurement for the District of Columbia. When we come back, I'm going to talk to Dave a little bit about some of his recent writings in this field, including writings on flexible acquisition. I'm Larry Allen, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What do successful small, medium, and large federal contractors, including two-thirds of the top 100, have in common? Membership in the Coalition for Government Procurement. Successful federal contractors know they get the information edge they need on developing acquisition trends and an effective voice to protect their interests from coalition membership. For nearly 30 years, the Coalition's been the trusted voice of industry, working with federal officials to promote common sense procurement. Know what the best know. Join the Coalition today to protect and grow your company's business. Contact the Coalition at 202-331-0975 or visit their website at thecgp.org. That's 202-331-0975 or thecgp.org. Don't be left wondering what will happen to your federal business in 2009. Contact the Coalition today.
And welcome back to Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and your host here every Tuesday at this time on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, where we bring you the uncomplainingly loyal listener in the world of government procurement, both private and public sectors, the latest developments in commercial solution acquisition. We are focusing this half hour on state procurement, specifically with my guest today, Dave Gragan, who is the Director of Procurement for the District of Columbia. Before I get back to our interview with Dave, I want to remind you, our listeners, that we welcome your feedback here. Question for Dave that I can pass along, a question for me, or a show topic you'd like to see us cover here on Off the Shelf. We do value your feedback. It is Off the Shelf at federalnewsradio.com, where you can send us comments. That's Off the Shelf at federalnewsradio.com. Dave Gragan, you talked at the top of the show today a little bit about the need for innovation and flexibility in the public procurement process. There is a reason for process, as you noted, but you also said that tomorrow's procurement directors will not look anything like today's or the procurement directors of yesterday. In fact, one of your colleagues, Michael Shaughnessy, was quoted as saying, government must abandon its focus on zero risk. Only with entrepreneurial thought in the contracting process can we hope to deliver smart solutions to leading-edge government innovators. What are your thoughts on this area? Do you agree with Mr. Shaughnessy?
I absolutely do. I think that was an interview just a couple weeks ago that I participated in for Education News, but it really goes back to some work that I've done for the past 3 years with Harvard University on exactly the problem that I think many, many innovators find in government, nonprofits and others that deal with government, find that they have wonderful solutions that work in a laboratory-like setting, if you will, one charter school, for example, or one city park, for example. But when you try to blow that to full scale, when you try to make that the entire K through 12 education system, you run afoul frequently, I think, and historically, the entrepreneur, the person with the brilliant thought and the solution that works at a local level, cannot take that to full scale. And that frustrates both the solutions provider and it frustrates the government. And it especially, I think, frustrates the citizens who we serve, that you cannot take a great program that operates in a small setting and turn it into a big program. When Harvard began doing this work, one of the theories of why that seemed to be the case was that ultimately you get into the contracting process and you hit barrier after barrier related to the rules and zero risk, the tolerance for no risk in procurement. That is traditionally the way this business has been, but this business cannot go forward that way, in my opinion.
In fact, a recent guest I had on Off the Shelf was talking a little bit about the regeneration at the federal level of the concept of things like share and savings contracting, things where the government has a little skin in the game, the contractor has a little skin in the game, but if it works out well for one, then by definition it'll work out well for both partners.
That's exactly right. And I think in addition to shared savings, for example, public-private partnerships, there are many innovative ways of having both partners at the contract table win, and that's critical to a successful contract.
Well, I'm glad we're talking about this today, Dave Gragan, the director of DC Procurement, because it's been a little while since we in the Coalition have focused on state government procurement. Sounds like things have gone a little bit differently in state procurement lately than what we remember, and I think that's probably all for the good. There are rules that have to be followed. There are fair opportunities that have to be provided. But within those basic foundations, there is some room for flexibility. You yourself recently authored a paper on the public contracting process in support of entrepreneurial solutions, an idea that probably wouldn't have been discussed, especially at the state government level, even 7 or 8 years ago. What are some of the key points you made in that paper?
One of them is to communicate aggressively. One of the hallmarks, and not a good one, of public procurement over the years has been our complete silence at certain parts of the procurement process. It's counterintuitive to think that complete silence would result in a good contract. More and more, once we have developed a good statement of what we're trying to buy and not overdeveloped that statement, I think we allow the contracting community to provide us innovative solutions. But if we've got questions, we need to ask those questions, and we should expect there to be answers. I believe there is room for dialogue in the procurement process, even though traditionally we shut it down.
One of the things along the lines of communications that particularly the Obama administration has embraced and kicked off at the federal level is this whole idea of social innovation and taking communications to new and different platforms. One of the things they have set up at GSA, for example, is the ability for all kinds of people to comment on draft RFPs during the RFP creation process. Are these the types of tools that maybe there are some new ones that you and your colleagues at state government procurement are looking at?
I think that's one of them, and that's a great example. In fact, that one makes me think, as you mentioned, that one, it makes me think of another recommendation that I put in that paper on procurement for innovative solutions, is to abandon our typical thinking of RFPs. I believe that in RFPs, frequently, I've seen this over the years, we constrain the very people that we expect to come in and solve our problem. We actually overspecify what we want. A very simple, written in plain English problem statement is probably the best way to allow the supplier community, the people that we expect in many cases to invent a tailored solution just for us, to allow them the flexibility they need to impress us with their ability to innovate.
So we're talking about innovation, risk-taking, certainly not inside-the-box thinking. That's actually, to me, kind of putting state government procurement at the forefront of public acquisition today. Leaders in the federal government, please take note. What I've been teaching about in my classes at the federal level, Dave, lately is that this is a very risk-averse environment. And people are, I think, at the federal level anyway, a little bit more concerned about following the process and in making that safe decision in acquisition. But as you say, that may not always drive the best outcomes. One of the things that you also have done, being one of the senior lights in state government acquisition, is talk a little bit about the role of the procurement at the chief executive and direct report levels. As you mentioned at the top of the show, you see your job fundamentally as a business partner and a little different than a traditional acquisition person, maybe as we thought of 15 years ago. Tell our listeners a little bit about the idea that you have for chief executive interaction and government acquisition.
I appreciate the question very much. Within the community that I am in, we've probably been talking about this for 15 years, but there are very few examples of where the procurement director is in the direct chain of command and a direct report to the chief executive, whether the mayor or the governor. I'm fortunate here in Washington, D.C., because I am a direct report to the mayor. I find this to be very, very valuable in at least two ways. Number one, I'm a member of the cabinet, and when the cabinet gets together to talk, I'm in the same room with the chief of police and the same room with the chancellor of schools. And when I hear them talk about their initiatives, I immediately put their initiatives in terms of contracts. And I have probably 6 or 8 months of advance warning over an initiative that one of the other agency heads is going to make. That's tremendously valuable. It's also valuable to be a peer and a partner with the agency heads as opposed to a subordinate that sits adjacent and is only tasked on occasion to come provide a contract.
So really having a seat at the table and being able to fully view things at the strategic level, putting procurement in a whole different light than perhaps had traditionally been the case. Ironically, that was a recommendation of the Virginia Procurement Assessment Task Force that I served on the late 1990s. And it was something that at that time was not gaining widespread recommendation, even though it was a task force recommendation. So maybe it's getting a little bit more play today. Dave Gragan, the Director of Procurement for the District of Columbia, I want to thank you so much for coming on Off the Shelf today.
It's been a pleasure, Larry. Thank you.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.